Hello and welcome to the Relationship Anxiety Podcast. I'm your host, Mikkel, and today we are talking about why anxiety keeps coming up and how to solve it for good. Hello, my friends. What's up? Welcome to today's podcast. I am very excited to talk with y'all about understanding why anxiety keeps being a thing and how to actually release it. So this is like very, very common for people who experience anxiety, where we notice like it just seems to keep being a thing. And we feel like we try things and it just like feels like this uphill battle. And the reason this is because very often the things we are doing to quote unquote solve our anxiety are actually things that perpetuate anxiety. I get this all the time with clients where when we talk about what to do, their mind's kind of blown a little bit because they'll be like, that's exactly the opposite of what I thought I needed to do. And I'm like, I know. That's why we've been so stuck in this. Because the things that you feel like are going to work, the things that pull you towards like solving anxiety are the very things keeping it going. And this is why anxiety can be so tricky, because often we have to go the opposite direction of what your brain is saying to do. So we're going to talk about this in two layers. One is solving anxiety. And these are the things you do that feel like they're helping anxiety, but actually long term, you're noticing this just consistently as being a thing for you, versus dissolving anxiety. And this is like where we're actually getting to and releasing what anxiety is rooted in. So solving, I always talk about like, it's like this loop, this little hamster wheel we're on that we could spend forever on. Or it's like your computer when it's running a program and I have a Mac, so it's like the little rainbow wheel spinning and it's like going and going and going, and the computer eventually like crashes because that program is just never going to run. And that's like solving for anxiety. It's just like we're going to keep going and going and going and going, but yet it seems like we're not actually getting anywhere. Versus dissolving anxiety is like we're actually, instead of running that same program on your computer and getting that rainbow wheel and crashing your computer, we're going in and we're looking at the code and we're looking at like the hardware and we're actually seeing what is underneath that's causing that problem, and we're addressing the bugs underneath. So solving the problem of anxiety is actually perpetuating it, and we can spend forever in it, versus dissolving it is actually releasing anxiety. So first thing with solving anxiety is, if you are in solving anxiety mode, I think the number one like most key indicator is you focus a lot on the different questions anxiety offers. So your brain might say, something, what if something's wrong? What if I'm settling? What if I'm stay alone forever? Or what if this isn't the one, right? Whatever the thoughts are, and your brain will hop from question to question to question, and you will chase the answer, and you will feel like you've answered one question or feel like you're getting close to an answer, and then you will start to feel like you have to chase the answer to another question. Your brain might have a few that are like its favorite, but it's kind of like this whack-a-mole game with your brain. And we might try to solve for these questions by Googling, asking other people, analyzing, making a pros and cons list. And all of those behaviors actually perpetuate the question because we are investing energy into it. We are investing ourselves into solving for it. And believe it or not, our identity actually can become very tied to experiencing anxiety, being someone who is anxious, or being someone who has relationship anxiety. And I've seen this with clients where when they start to feel better, they'll actually kind of freak out a little bit or kind of start looking for the anxiety again. Because that anxiety, while it's not comforting, in a way it is, because it's what we're used to, because it's like that thing that we've spent all our mental energy on. It's what we've been so used to putting our focus on. And so it can kind of be a little bit like, whoa, well, wait, what do I do now? Our brain almost can like, wait, what? I'm not just going to solve for anxious questions all day. Well, now what do I do? And our brain almost feels like that's its purpose. And so our identity becomes tied to these anxious questions and solving for them. And we can even see this in moments where maybe you might notice it's more like calm and peaceful, but you start looking for like, okay, but something might be wrong. Something must be wrong. And you're scanning the conversation, you're scanning the room, you're scanning your partner, and you're looking for where there might be problems or anticipating problems coming up again. Sound familiar? So when we're in that solving mode, again, we're very focused on answering different questions, and the way we spend time answering it actually perpetuates having more questions. Our brain gets in this cycle. I don't think I touched on this earlier, but basically like those behaviors we do to try to solve for the questions actually perpetuates having more of those questions. And then we also identify ourselves with them and we become tied to this person, this identity as a person who questions their relationship. And that's just like how we are used to existing in relationships. You may even notice in moments of reprieve from anxiety, you're anticipating it coming up again. You're worrying about the next moment. Constantly talking it through all the time. I would do this all the time with my parents where I'd call them up and I'd be like, oh, there was this thing that happened. And like, I don't know, this was kind of worried me, but also this was really good and I really liked this. And if you're constantly talking, not just even about your anxiety, but about like constantly focused on the relationship and talking about it all the time, and or trying to fix it, even like when we're in that energy of like looking at the relationship and like, hey, wait, where do we need to improve? What's going wrong? Like, what do we need to fix? And when you notice the good things, it's not in a let myself enjoy it kind of way. It's in a proving kind of way. Like, we notice the good things as a way to be like, see, ha, you're good to stay. It's okay. Look, it's fine. And we use it as a comforting thing rather than just letting ourselves enjoy positive moments in a relationship, because that is us trying to solve for the anxiety. Another key one is you will notice if you're in solving mode, you're going to be really disconnected from what you're feeling and be very in your head. So you may have the desire to feel or experience more love in your relationship. But if you're in solving mode, it, like, again, think about solving mode. Your brain's like this computer that's like, hey, what's the math problem I got to solve? What's the math problem I got to solve? And it's like constantly running these equations of your relationship, not actually math problems. A computer is very logical. It's not emotional. Love is emotional. So when we're wanting to feel love, but yet the way we're doing that is we're like, okay, let me analyze all the good and bad things about the relationship. We're actually disconnecting from what we're desiring to experience. And we're getting out of our heart, out of our body, and into our head. Or whenever we do notice a feeling come up, we start immediately intellectualizing it. We start immediately making that feeling mean something's good or bad or right or wrong. Like, oh, I felt happy. Yay, that means the relationship's good and okay. Or, oh, I felt sad. That must mean something's wrong and it's probably going to end. All of that's solving versus actually like allowing ourselves to be experiencing and feeling all the different human emotions that you feel in a relationship without like constantly trying to assign the feelings meaning or treating the feelings like problems to solve. And again, solving mode, we're very much in our brain. Now, here's what's crazy. when we talk about dissolving is we're actually getting to the root of anxiety and releasing what's underneath. So there can be so many thoughts swirling in our mind, but all of them connect to the same kind of like root energy. This energy of fight or flight in your body, or energy of freeze, these survival responses that your body has, body and brain. But what's wild is 80%, so there's like two channels or way that information flows. So from our brain to our body, and then our body to our brain. So 80% of our experience is dictated from the body to the brain. Then the rest, the 20% is the brain to the body. So what that means for you is so much of the energy behind anxiety is often a body thing. There is anxious energy in our body that we often don't address. And so when we're in solving mode, we're thinking through our anxiety, but we're not connecting to the actual sensations and feelings that are underneath it. And so we're focusing on that 20% and we're spending all our time there when 80% of it is your body and brain in this survival response of fight or flight. Your body saying danger, danger, danger. And that danger signal coming up from your body, your brain then rationalizes in all these different ways. But that's where a lot of times what we miss is it's so essential to pause on the solving and focus on dissolving that danger signal. How to show your body, I am actually safe in this relationship. There is not danger here. This is a misfiring of my brain. This is a misfiring of my nervous system. I am safe here. So actually like releasing that danger energy, that survival energy, being able to create a sense of safety is so key if we want to dissolve anxiety. Next thing is being able to actually address the core beliefs underneath anxiety. So I kind of touched on this last week's podcast. You should go listen to it if you haven't, on worthy love. But I talked about how a lot of times the thing we obsess on are the things we identify with, the things that we like value ourselves on. So say you value yourself on being a really smart person. That's where you derive your self-worth from. You may obsess over whether or not your partner is very smart. And underneath that, the core of that, there may be a belief of I'm not worthy enough. And you compensate by trying to prove how smart you are or trying to prove how smart your partner is. And instead of doing that, instead of trying to prove how smart he is and that he really is intelligent, we want to look at that core belief around you attaching your worth to intelligence or you minimizing your worth and addressing that. And that will get you so much further than analyzing if he's actually smart every time you have a conversation with him. So much further. Getting to those core beliefs, that actually dissolves anxiety. Next one is being able to actually release your attachment to the problem. So again, this is the part that feels wildly unfamiliar and crazy to us, but it's being willing to not think about the questions all the time, being willing to not solve for them, to focus your mental energy on things that are empowering and fun and creative for you. To have your brain like bring up anxious thoughts and like, yep, I see you, brain, I hear you. And here's where we're putting our time and energy and focus instead. And intentionally choosing to not engage every time our brain brings up the problem. And this will feel very negligent and very irresponsible. And you'll be like, but I need to figure it out and I need to solve for it. But again, the more we're solving, the more attached we're getting to the problem, and the more our brain is really like identifying ourselves with that. And so one of the most powerful things we can do is really like giving ourselves permission to just set it aside again and again and again. And our attachment to it grows weaker over time. So then we may notice naturally like thoughts we used to have kind of start to fade. They don't bother us the way they used to. It seems quieter. And I see this time and time again for clients where when they're willing to detach from those anxious questions that seem so pressing and they're willing to let go of them again and again and again, they just start to dissipate. And they seem irrelevant. They aren't there anymore, or they're put back in perspective and we see them for what they are. So rather than feeling annoyed at our partner after a conversation and it being like this huge, horrible, awful, like big, like massive thing in our brain, it's just like, oh yeah, I felt a little bit annoyed at him. Okay, maybe next time I'm going to try this, or I want to handle it a little bit like this. Okay. And then we move on. That is dissolving the problem. When we are able to very easily and quickly like identify what we want to do and move forward, we're not continuously churning on it again and again and again. So, number one question to ask yourself as anxiety pops up, am I solving for my anxiety or dissolving it? And if you need help doing this, because again, most of us, our knee-jerk reaction is going to be solving and perpetuating it, come join Love Over Fear, and I'm going to teach you exactly how to dissolve the root of it, let go of it, stop solving for it all the time, so you can have mental freedom. All right, thanks so much for tuning in today, you guys. Love you so much. I'll see you next week. Bye.